Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. Available at Centra and Supervalu stores nationwide. Great tasting coffee, no messing.
There we go. Now, guys, it is sex therapy time.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, indeedy. And today we're going to be talking about gender roles during coronavirus. Now, we've spoken about the different gender roles in relation to sex before, but we're revisiting as there's lots to talk about given this current climate. And joining me on the line is our sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. How's it going?
Hiya, Jen. I didn't put on my heels since I last saw you, but I did join TikTok. I think I'm about 10 or 15 years too old, but I'm now doing dance battles with people. So, I might get the heels out this week.
Listen, did you hear about this one on TikTok? I read it out this morning. There's this new challenge where people are wetting themselves and taking a video and putting it up on TikTok.
No, I didn't hear about this. What kind of wetting themselves?
They're wetting themselves in front of a mirror. So they just start to pee and it soils their trousers. They take a little video and they're putting it up on TikTok. There's a hashtag and everything. It's mad. What is wrong with people?
Or what's right with them? Who knows?
Exactly. Okay, so we have to talk about this again. Can you explain to me again and for the listeners what gender roles are exactly?
Sure can. Okay, so we'll start with, we've got sex, gender and gender roles. So sex is our biology. Someone's sex is usually assigned at birth. So AFAB is an acronym for assigned female at birth. AMAB is assigned male, or you've got intersex. So that's determined through your hormones and chromosomes, as well as your internal and external anatomy. Then you've got your gender, and that's how someone identifies themselves. So we now have expanded that dictionary or glossary to use words like, you know, we already had girl, boy, man, woman, and we've got trans man, gender fluid, non-binary, gender queer, trans feminine, loads more. And then we've got gender roles, which is a social role made up of a range of behaviours and attitudes that are generally considered sort of like acceptable, appropriate or desirable for people based on their biological or perceived sex. So it's kind of expectations of how people are supposed to be. Like, usually it's still on a binary. So man and a woman, how they're supposed to be, they're supposed to think, they're supposed to act. And these gender roles are generally centered on conceptions of masculinity and femininity. Yeah. But there's lots of variations around the world. You know, some specifics of gendered expectations vary substantially among different cultures, while other characteristics seem to be common in many cultures. So that kind of gives you an idea of what we're talking about when we say gender roles.
We're getting closer to gender equality in general, though, right?
Well, we're continuing to break down gender norms and stereotypes, but there's still a load of work to do. You know, as you'll have heard, I'm sure it's been talked about loads of times in the show. There's many ways to gauge how much people are being paid, but from nearly every angle, there's still a pay gap between men and women. You know, it's, we can still see that what our culture codes as feminine is still seen as inferior to what our culture or society codes as masculine, you know, in terms of different traits and behaviours. But we're seeing a big shift, you know, shows like RuPaul's Drag Race, Sex Education, Pose. These are all really challenging and updating old ideologies around sex, gender and identity. You know, I was listening to Doja Cat's Boss Bitch and I thought there's an amazing line in that. Well, I've been a stallion and you've been the seahorse, which I thought is an interesting one as well. You know, because seahorses are one of the only animals where the male can carry the babies. So, yeah, you know, we have this paradox where we're still obsessed with sexualizing female bodies. And yet the world is illiterate, it seems, when it comes to women's sexuality. We've been looking at whether male brains are different from female brains for about 200 years now. And we're only really discovering now how little biological difference there is. That there is some, for sure, but much less than we thought. And ultimately, we just need to accept that each of us has a unique brain and our abilities cannot be defined by a single label like our gender.
So why do you think are more men dying from the coronavirus? Can I ask
you? Do you know what? This is a really interesting one because people from obviously all walks of life are falling ill and passing away from coronavirus. But the virus is having really starkly different effects on different groups of people. And the most pronounced divide to emerge seems to be regarding biological sex, because almost 70% of deaths are men. And there's loads of theories. One of them is that women's immune response, or people born as female, their immune response to the virus is stronger. Immune response throughout life to vaccines and infections is typically more aggressive and more effective in females compared to males, speaking from a biological sex perspective. Another possibility is down to gender-based lifestyle choices. There are more important, there are important behavioral differences between the sexes. So like smoking, which affects the level of pre-existing disease, such as heart disease, chronic lung disease and cancer. As we know, a lot of the people affected or who die from coronavirus have underlying health conditions. So, you know, in China, for instance, 50% of men smoke and only 5% of women.
That is crazy.
Yeah, huge difference. So we're seeing that. And then there's like, we also have a lot of research to show that men are much more likely to wash their hands a lot less. They are much more less likely to eat well and take care of themselves. They're more likely to abuse substances and alcohol. So, you know, we're seeing that it's probably to do with lifestyle, and there's also a bit of biology in there. But I think it's calling a lot of things into question about, you know, what the differences are in how we behave and what that might mean.
How has coronavirus impacted different genders?
Yeah, so women have been in the spotlight throughout this crisis, given how well countries with female leaders have responded. I don't know if you've talked about that, but there seems to be some research emerging, or, you know, observations that the countries that are led by women seem to have been doing much better. They responded quicker. They've been more cautious.
While she was still breastfeeding, by the way.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, back to work really quickly. That's a crazy thing to get your head around. But an interesting point. Any other ways it has impacted different genders?
Yes. So usually in, you know, the lockdown has already resulted in lots of job losses.
Yeah.
And the current crisis is unusual in that in a recession, men are often hit harder than women in terms of unemployment. But that's because more men work in industries that are closely tied to economic cycles, such as construction and manufacturing, whereas women tend to dominate more in industries not tied to economic cycles. So we generally tend to work more in healthcare, education and hospitality. And this time during coronavirus, there's just other factors that are having more impact on people's jobs. So whether someone is a key worker or a critical worker, and also whether people are able to do their jobs remotely. So again, looking at research, it seems that more men seem to have jobs that are kind of telecommutable or able to be moved online at the moment. So that's about 28% of men have been able to move their jobs online, and only about 20% of women, because women tend to be working in retail and hospitality industries more, and so they have been more heavily affected. And so, you know, from an economic perspective, low paid, young, working class women have been hit the hardest, it seems. Also single parents, over 75% of single parents are women. So even if they do have a job that they could technically do, you know, or theoretically do remotely, it's often not realistic for them to be able to continue if they have small children who require constant attention. So, you know, then we're also seeing domestic violence has absolutely surged, which is really terrifying. In France, cases rose by a third in the first week of lockdown. Reports are up 75% in Australia. They've doubled in Lebanon. You know, so of course, domestic violence can affect people of all genders, but women tend to experience a disproportionate amount. So then we also have the upside, which is that we're now seeing a lot more men taking on roles of caregiver.
Yeah.
And this is a really, this is an exciting.
That's a positive. Yeah.
It is. This is a silver lining. So, you know, first we've got workplace flexibility. Millions of businesses are adjusting to working from home schemes, you know, kind of on the fly right now. Loads of businesses, I'm working with a few who are helping move to 4-day work weeks, which is, I think, going to be a brilliant upside of this. And then the other silver lining is that I really think there's going to be a lot of scope for shift in gender norms, because it's going to make it much easier for it to seem normal and for men to be being the primary caregivers.
Absolutely. They're getting good practice, aren't they, being at home. Can I ask you, lastly, do you reckon the future of gender is evolution or extinction?
Oh, I do hope it's extinction, and I know that is shared with definitely some people, but I know others would prefer that we evolve our concepts of what man, woman, masculinity, femininity are, and it's certainly happening. But you know, I hope that eventually we just won't care as much about who someone chooses to sleep with, who they, you know, how they tend to dress or the ways that they act. If we can all just be, you know, reasonably considerate, sound people to each other, then we should all be able to make our own choices and not have to be judged based on, you know, what these gender binaries or gender expectations are. So I hope it's extinction, but I think for now it's going to be evolution. And I think there's a lot of fantastic things that are going to come out of this period. Lots of really tough things, and people are obviously going through a lot. But I do think there's the potential for this to be there to be a really big
positive
shift.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Rachel Cook, thanks so much for joining us. We'll chat to you next week, okay?
Talk to you, Jen.
Bye. Back after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.